from Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of room and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Tim Krolaitis, Jennifer Nevins, Kristen McQuarrie, and Tracy Seffel. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo. And, of course, you can join us on the World Wide Web at beyondthebeltway.com. Well, we have a great agenda of things to talk about this evening. Last week was probably one of the worst weeks for President Trump and also for Paul Ryan. In fact, someone would say it's a horrible week, but we have a Trump fan with us this evening, maybe a couple of Trump fans here this evening. Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune editorial board, your reaction to what was expected of Donald Trump and what ended up happening.
I mean, I don't blame Donald Trump and Paul Ryan for trying to broker a deal. I think that's why we send people to Washington. So I think the onus is on the Freedom Caucus. This is a group where they keep moving the goalposts. And I don't know that Trump needs to wear the jacket for actually attacking an issue that Republicans have been talking about for 7 years. So I credit them with trying to get something through. And I now think this falls to the Freedom Caucus. You don't like this bill. What's your proposal? And now you start getting sponsors. You start trying to
get support. But he doesn't want to give him a chance right now. He says it's off. He doesn't want to spend any more time on it right now.
Well, they did. I mean, they were negotiating with the Freedom Caucus on and off for, I mean, months over this. This is what all Republicans ran on. The idea that this was somehow a surprise bill is just not true. It's been up on every website of every member of Congress who was running. So I really think that the Freedom Caucus is just a group that you even had one. You had Representative Poe quit today because he recognizes that they're great at screaming at what they don't like, and they're not great at actually moving their agenda.
Tracy Seffel, you are making your maiden voyage. Nice to have you with us. You are the card-carrying Democrat this evening. You must be very happy. You got a big smile on your face. The opposition is wallowing in their own waste.
Wow. I wouldn't say I'm happy. I wouldn't say I'm happy. And I definitely disavow any sort of celebrations that would occur over the disaster of this past week. Mm-hmm. 18 days to push through a major piece of legislation. I mean, that was a fantasy. It was never going to happen. And the president was handed, depending on your perspective, it was a loss. It was a wash. There are various ways to interpret it. But what is clear is that it was a rush and a mess.
Here's what I don't know. Krista, maybe you can help me with this. For the last several years, the House Republicans would pass a repeal Obamacare plan, and they would send it to President Obama, and he would veto it. Why did they take that same bill and put it before President Trump?
I think they recognize that voters don't want that to happen again. Do we really want to go back? Do the repeal supporters really want to go back to 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005 when you had an insurance industry that actually was sort of predatory with pre-existing conditions, with $1 million caps? You had small children who were sick, maxing out their health
insurance. But
their
was lifetime. All that included? Was all that included in the Republican bill?
No, but I'm Jennifer? but it did preserve parts of Obamacare that people that should have been done prior to Obamacare.
You know, the poison.
What's the answer to that question?
There's a lot of things going on here. They told us that there was a phase two. Well, the Republicans pushing this through, Ryan, okay. And I have to include Trump in this. I mean, it pains me as the original Trumper here. But there's going to be a phase two and there's a phase three, and the problems with phase one are going to be worked out in phase two and phase three. That's all dependent on who's in the Senate at that time. How many years is that away? It's kind of like the tollway. You're not supposed to pay tolls after we've paid off the toll road. That never materializes. So for us to trust that things are going to be ironed out in phase two and three was just something that we didn't want to do.
It wasn't even going to be ironed out between what the House passed, if they passed it,
right,
and what the Senate. That was dead on arrival in the Senate. Tim, I mean, right. who was running this train?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that you mentioned, that a lot of people say that this is Obama light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you didn't get the Freedom Caucus, but you couldn't get a handful of Democrats to come across the aisle. I mean, it's Obama light. Their piece of legislation, their law, their health care plan is going to go bankrupt.
You don't really believe there's going to be any Democrat that's going to support Donald Trump for anything.
No. I don't. But that's the point. I mean, the point is, if we're talking about health care, we're not talking about health care. We're talking about politics. And Donald Trump is a businessman that has been parachuted into establishment politics, and he's still getting his footing under him. So to basically, you know, that's why earlier my comment was, no, he's not a loser yet.
But the people who supported him thought because he was Mr. Outside, he was going to have the ability to just drop in and you know, drain the swamp.
Well, many observers took note of the president's complete lack of any substantive remarks. He made no comments about specifics. It's safe to say many people assumed he didn't know what was actually in the bill, that he was flying at 35,000 feet. And I would simply
add, his job was to sell it, not read it.
And I would simply add, he actually didn't write The Art of the Deal. Another gentleman did. And he's quite happy to say that Trump had nothing to do with that book.
Well, you know, Tracy, pinging on what you just said, let's say that that's true, that Trump didn't read it and didn't understand it. And maybe that explains this vote, because honestly, I'm a Trump supporter from way back, but it does befuddle me as to why he went along with something that me and many of his supporters were very upset about. Then the onus falls on Paul Ryan, because he knew. And we had a clean repeal bill. You know, they did put this through 16 months ago, mm-hmm. a clean bill. And now, and Paul Ryan has and company have had plenty of time to orchestrate something. And what do? They drop this crap sandwich in Trump's which is exactly what it is, and Trump went along with it. Why? I can't divine, you know, the tea leaves, why he went along with it. It's concerning to many of his supporters, but this is, you know, I think a lot of this is on Paul Ryan.
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8029. When we come back, we'll get your response. 1-800-723-8029. From coast to coast and border to border, I'm Bruce Dumont.
Historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We were talking about Donald Trump being the prime salesman for this repeal and replace plan, which obviously went down to defeat last week and that they pulled the vote. But the vote counter should be the Speaker of the House. The vote counter should have known, and obviously he did because he didn't go forward with it, but it seems to me that that was his responsibility. It was Trump is out there. He's the sales guy. He's looking to the production department, and the production department isn't producing.
I mean,
do you agree with that?
I do, but I also, again, I'm not. I am a Paul Ryan supporter. I don't think people were even talking about entitlement reform, budget deficits, deficit spending, the debt until he was a backbencher in Congress. So he does have the same problem that John Boehner had with the Freedom Caucus. I think he was negotiating with them right up until the very end, trying to get language in the bill. But even as the Wall Street Journal pointed out today in their editorial, they kept moving the goalposts. They would get one thing in the bill, and then they wanted more, and they wanted more. And it was just this is a group that was always going to be a no. And you lost a chance at a step toward reform.
Tim, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, Paul Ryan dropped a bomb here. He, you know, we talk about moving the goalposts. I think the Republican establishment moved the goalposts because it was supposed to be repeal and replace. It became Obamacare light. And somehow you get 50 Freedom Caucus members that said, no, we're going to stick through what we did for the last 7 years. and they're the obstructionists? No, it don't work that way.
Right. I have a hard time understanding. Let's just take one element of this bill that was really problematic. The CBO, whether you trust them or not, the CBO came out and said that the insurance rates were going to go up for 3 years, and then they were going to come down slowly after adjustments were made. But what happens in those 3 years? In 2018, we have elections. Okay, and so the Republicans own that plan at that point if it passes. The premiums go up, and the Republicans aren't going to take a fall for that?
But Jennifer, that wasn't the big thing that the CBO said. They said that 24 million people were not going to be covered after Donald Trump said
exactly.
that everyone was going to be covered. It seems to me that any politician of any stripe would know that when that headline goes out and it's repeated everywhere, you can't vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a poison pill.
You've mentioned goalposts, and I've actually been viewing this as a pendulum swinging back and forth in the Republican Party. The Freedom Caucus back to moderates. The Freedom Caucus back to moderates. And I have plenty of friends who've worked in Republican leadership who will say that is an inextractable problem that has been plaguing the party for several years. Now, Paul Ryan
and Donald Trump is on the moderate side.
Some days, I guess.
Mostly.
Not entirely mostly. Clear what his belief system is consistent with. But regardless, Paul Ryan happened to be in the driver's seat for this one. He's frequently called a policy wonk. I'm not entirely sure why, because right. that certainly didn't come through in this action. But it is important to remember that this is a continuous right. pattern with the Republicans.
But a backbencher policy wonk is good for one thing. It isn't necessarily good for counting votes or being the leader of the House.
But you also had Trump. I think 120 members of the Republican caucus said they were personally called by Trump or someone in the administration.
Right.
You had we talked earlier about Democrats that there was no chance that they were going to come aboard. And that's really too bad because there were 33 or 34 Democrats who didn't initially vote for Obamacare. Some of them are still there, including Dan Lipinski from Illinois. And I would have thought maybe had you tried to at least entertain them, that, you know, he comes from a very conservative Democrat district. You might have been able to pull some support from Democrats, but they didn't even try.
Well, I think this illustrates part of the weakness of this bill, because Jim Jordan was talking about today on the early morning show is that part of what the Freedom Caucus wanted to do was take the number of people that were going to be kicked off of having insurance plans to segregate that population and have it be like a 2-year drawdown. Okay, that it was going to be a pool just for them, that they were going to isolate them, not involve everyone else, and that they were going to take care of those people. They wanted to isolate them. That's not what the plan called for. The plan called for this sweeping cut, and it didn't allow any maneuvering there. It was a black or white situation, and this was what was going to back up the CBO numbers.
Is it a good idea for what the president said that and Paul Ryan has said that we're taking it off the table? We're going to move on to tax.
I think it is a good idea.
And reform.
I think it's absolutely a good idea.
Is it going to come back this year? Does anybody think it's going to come back this year?
I don't think so. I think their intent now is to just watch Obamacare collapse, and you can cheer that, I suppose, but at the expense of me, at people whose premiums are going to continue to go up, people who are going to lose health care coverage, people whose choices are being diminished, states who expanded Medicaid that now, as a taxpayer, I'm supporting. So I don't think that's anything to cheer either.
When will the collapse of Obamacare reach a point that everyone will acknowledge it, including some Democrats? Tracy?
Well, various people are projecting various timelines for this, but I want to go to your point about is it dead? Will we see this come back? And there have been many people making noise that, well, okay, let's just move ahead to tax reform, which to me is hilarious because the complexities of tax reform and the notion that somehow that's going to be easier when we haven't had major federal tax reform in decades, but they couldn't get this bill done, but now they're just going to move on to taxes. It reflects such a JV understanding of the policy process. So what will happen with the concerns with Obamacare, which are valid concerns for many people and many groups of people? What is that timeline? If we're completely walking away from healthcare now, I would say that responsibility does fall upon Republicans, that they will be complicit in whatever dramatic situation awaits us.
You know, this is a real, Tracy, I have to tell you, this is something I really resent, this meme that's going around that I heard in the media today, that because the Republicans aren't preserving because Republicans aren't changing Obamacare, but they're rather preserving it, that the onus is going to be on them, that this albatross is now on their, around their necks, not the enactors of Obamacare. They're not the ones that are going to take the blame. It's the people that didn't change and save us from Obamacare that are going to take the blame.
But you
that
have the majority.
Such a bunch of crap.
You have the majority. Just like Democrats in this state have had the majority. And as far as I'm concerned, they wear the jacket for the state of Illinois and its finances. You're in charge now. You have all three branches of government, and if you don't want to wear the jacket for not fixing it, that's ridiculous.
But if the Democrats want to say that in 2 years, then we can say to them, how come you didn't vote for this? You say that, you know, you are upset with us because we preserved your plan, but yet you didn't do anything to stop it.
Should there be retribution by the president and Paul Ryan for those that left him high and dry? Tim?
I think there should
be a politician now. You used to be an outside guy. Now you're a county commissioner.
All right. Well, I'd look at retribution for Paul Ryan, to be quite honest with you. Because he walked out there. He looked into the news cameras. He said, we're gonna, you know, pass this thing. He convinced Trump that this thing was passed. He failed.
The president.
He's the leader.
In his tweet yesterday said that everyone should watch Fox News last night for Judge Jeanine.
Right.
The first thing out of her mouth was, Paul Ryan has got to go.
I mean, that's just so hyperbolic, though. This is one, this is one issue. They're going to move on to other issues. I don't know. He can't win, is the position that I feel that he was in. And he was actually,
Paul Ryan.
He was challenged by the right in his own district in Wisconsin. He clobbered the guy. So I think this idea that somehow he can't listen to the more moderate members of his own caucus to maintain a majority is ridiculous. He has to listen to them. He can't do what the 33 members of the Freedom Caucus want all the time.
But also,
that's not what a leader does.
Support from some of the moderates. I mean, Charlie Dent. There were the Tuesday Club or the whatever it's called, the Tuesday guys. They weren't with him either.
No.
The people that are wearing the collar now, again, Paul Ryan, who I think deserves a huge part of it, the Freedom Caucus, without question. But again, there were moderates that weren't on this bill either.
After the CBO scoring, yes,
right.
Because it's very frightening to have people being kicked off insurance.
Absolutely.
And that's why I agree
I was amazed that he got as many votes. If you had to go out, if you're a Republican, I don't care whether you're hard right or you're moderate right, if you have to go out and defend in a reelection campaign that 24 million people are being thrown off,
incremental change is okay. And you're never going to get, and again, I'm quoting from the Wall Street Journal, which I don't think they're a left-wing rag here, 9 times out of 10, maybe even 9.5 times out of 10, they are editorializing for free markets, government reform, entitlement reform, and they too recognize that you're never going to get one sweeping fix to this. It's going to be incremental.
Should anyone who did not support the speaker, should they lose a chairmanship? Should they lose a sub-chairmanship? Should they not get money sent to their district? Should the president support someone in a primary against them? You know, these are the waters that you swim in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tea Party people, they've built their reputation nationally and locally. Mm-hmm. They find someone who they don't agree with, and they don't give them a lot of wiggle room, and they go and they retire them. Should some of the Freedom Caucus be retired with primary challenges? You're shaking your head no.
Absolutely not.
Isn't that the Trump tactic, though, or the Tea Party tactic?
That is a fundamental misunderstanding, and I heard it all morning on the news shows, of who the Trump supporters are, that Trump supporters wanted repeal and replace. Trump supporters wanted repeal. And as far as replace, they wanted a far different replacement than what was being offered to us. If he is going to exact retribution, and I say if Trump is going to exact retribution on people who have similar political beliefs to his supporters, and that would be the Freedom Caucus, by and large, not all of them, but by and large, unfortunately, Donald Trump is going to pay a huge price. And it pains me as the original Trumper to say that. It really does. But that is a complete, the websites I am on, Bruce, one of them being the Sparta Report, wonderful website, full of people who've worked hard to elect Donald Trump, people who've supported Trump, have given Trump a wide berth, were ticked as hell over what happened, what Trump was doing, trying to figure out if there was 3D chess being played here. We don't
but
want
if these,
this bill.
But if these Trump people who will walk, you know, walk into fire for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
if they live in a district and they're represented by a Freedom Caucus guy,
yes.
I would assume that they're going to take some retribution against that person because that member of Congress, at least at this moment, embarrassed their guy, the president.
No, that's not what I'm reading at all from the hundreds of people that I – literally hundreds of people that I correspond
with. I don't think
this
hurts Trump's base right now at all.
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8299. If you're part of the base, are you excited or do you want to take retribution? And do you want to throw Paul Ryan overboard? Back shortly from Chicago. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, May 14th. Do you have something special for your mom this year? How about an experience that she'll never forget and one you and your entire family can enjoy watching for years to come? It's an opportunity for your mom to be interviewed by Larry King down at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in downtown Chicago. It's an opportunity for her to share her childhood, her life's memorable moments, the moments that frequently are shared over holiday dinners. The Larry King Fantasy Interview Experience is a recorded memory for a lifetime. Her interview with the legendary Larry King, recorded, then edited together, for all to see and share with the family around the world. The questions are simple, nothing to study for, but an opportunity for your mom to share her life with Larry King. Go to museum.tv for further details. Look for Larry King's picture. That's museum.tv. A great gift for only $24.95. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and we welcome a new affiliate tonight, WIQO FM 100.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia. So it's great to have the Virginia Talk Radio Network with us this evening, covering their Lynchburg ADI market. It's nice to have back on the old friend of ours, Gary Burns, who's one of the owners of that station, along with his three daughters. Again, it's great to be back on with Gary. And again, it is WIQO FM 100.9. And again, we welcome you, and if you want to give us a call at 1-800-723-8299, we'd like to hear from the folks in Lynchburg tonight. Let's head to phones right now. Let's go to Portland, Oregon, where Jim is listening to us on Freedom 970. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the air. Probably all excited about the Oregon Ducks last night, right?
Absolutely. It's incredible. But, you know, it's been that type of year for the Final Four, right?
It's going to be a great time. I know, but just with our affiliate base, we'll probably hear from the folks at KXLY because they're celebrating the Gonzaga victory yesterday as well. So it's going to be a great Final Four. But what can we do for you tonight?
Absolutely. Well, I was just calling in, and you know, thanks again for taking my call. But I've been a Trump supporter throughout the whole primary.
Mm-hmm.
This health bill is not going to hurt Trump at all. Trump, I think, stepped up. He negotiated where he needed to. I think Paul Ryan owns this bill. Republicans in Congress own this. They voted, you know, for 7 years. They've been, you know, passing bills, putting them up to the president. You know, first it was give us the Congress. You know, we'll get rid of Obamacare. Then give us the Senate. We'll get rid of it. Then give us the presidency. And the Republicans put up a bill that was horrible. So I don't think Trump's going to play a political price for this, but I do disagree with some of your panelists. I think I got a feeling by the end of the year, there's going to be a health bill that's going to be put on Trump's desk and he's going to sign it. I think this is, you know, it's part of the art of the deal. You know, you walk away when you need to, and these people in Congress are already talking about, well, you know, we're going to get together and we're going to put together a better bill. We're going to work out our differences. You know, that's part of walking away from a bad deal.
Do you personally hold Paul Ryan responsible, and would you support a challenge to his speakership?
I absolutely hold him responsible for it. I think Paul Ryan is beholden to special interests. I don't think he's ever been a major supporter of Trump, and I don't think he's really wanted to get rid of Obamacare. I think these rhinos, I think they're happy with Obamacare because it gives more control to government. And I hold him personally responsible. And I think, you know, the Freedom Caucus, you know, I think they hold some responsibility because they should not have voted for Paul Ryan for speaker. And I think they need to mount a serious challenge to get him out of there, put him back in the House Ways and Means Committee where he belongs.
Let me ask you this question, Jim. Is it Bob or Jim?
Jim. Jim.
Jim, okay. Jim, question to you. Is it with Paul Ryan, do you think the person who ultimately or would replace him should be somebody from the Freedom Caucus, or does it have to be someone from the more moderate wing of the party?
I think it should be somebody that's not part of the leadership now. I think a lot of these guys are cut from the same cloth. A lot of them were supporters of Boehner. I don't care if it's somebody from the Freedom Caucus or somebody else. That representative from New York that was asking the James Comey some really tough questions. Mm-hmm. I think somebody like her, somebody that's hard-nosed, mm-hmm. that's going to go in there and really, you know, really try to kick some butt and solve okay. some problems.
All right. Listen, thank you for your call. We do appreciate it. We're going to go to another call in just a moment. But, Kristen, I want to ask you the question. The president asking the media through his tweet yesterday for everybody to watch Judge Jeanine last night, and you saw what she said, very strong to Paul Ryan, you got to get out. That wasn't a coincidence, was it?
No, of course not. I don't think anything Trump does is coincidence. I think Trump doesn't like to fail, and so he's feeling very chafed at what happened. But again, I'm someone who wants to see Congress actually delve into policy and fix stuff. And Paul Ryan won the speakership with only one dissenting vote. He was overwhelmingly chosen as speaker, I think, because he didn't play the Boehner games. He wasn't out on the golf course all the time. He's a hard-nosed, I think he is a policy wonk, and I followed his career pretty closely. And go back and watch some of the interviews that he did leading up to this about the intricacies of this bill. He could tell you every sentence that was in this bill. You might not like it, but it's tough to be a speaker when you have moderate and even liberal Republicans in your caucus, and your number one goal is to get them reelected too. You lose your majority if you don't also speak for them.
But again, you have the president suggesting that someone watch a popular personality on Fox News, and I assume that he knew what she was going to say.
Well, he's going to be really lost.
Which creates a problem. It seems to me that puts more pressure on Speaker Ryan. What's your
well? I would
looking
also
across the aisle. What do you think?
Looking across the aisle, I would note that the White House walked back any sort of relationship between the tweet and her comment, which I think further illustrates the sort of chaotic management style that's going on over there. They said, "Oh no, that's not what he meant." When of course he had tweeted something that suggested the opposite.
Now let me suggest we should mention that if we go to your Wikipedia page, you have a very distinguished credentials to be on this show and to be a media strategist and consultant for Democrats. You
Uh-oh.
Were very early for
I don't know where this
Hillary
is going.
Clinton.
Uh-oh.
But one of the things it talks about is that you're sort of a master at messages without fingerprints or without footprints. What is that exact quote about you?
Well,
in quotes. I assume it's in your Wikipedia page. So you probably like it.
Well, it's.
But it basically says that things get out there and you don't want any fingerprints as to where this came from.
Well, dirty little secret that consultants are often hired to do just that.
Yes.
I work with people and organizations and causes and interest groups and you name it. And if they have messages to be moved, it doesn't matter if my name's in it or not. But it's my job frequently.
So when a message goes out there from a close friend of the president saying, let's dump Paul Ryan, can they really walk it back? Does anybody believe the walk back?
No, I think people are laughing at them.
Right. Which is what Ryan Priebus tried peddling this morning to Chris
that
Wallace.
They're just good friends.
It was a coincidence,
ratings,
right? And he didn't know what the show was going to be about.
I don't believe
and it's
that.
No, I don't believe that at all. And
so then what is he doing? Does he want Paul Ryan out?
What I'm hoping it is 13-dimensional chess, which is what I'm hoping this whole sorry episode, you know, Trump's not a babe in the woods. I mean, he's a political newcomer. This is true. And there's things that he clearly does not understand about the process, but he's not dumb. He's extremely intelligent. So all of us who are Trump supporters are looking at this episode like there's got to be something going on here that we're not privy to. And this thing today that we learned when Ryan Priebus was saying, no, you know, it was just coincidence. Nobody believes that.
Well, there was another.
It's chutes and ladders.
You know what? I don't know.
But there was another story that Rance was asked about, and that is the story that supposedly people within the White House are suggesting that it was Rance that really should be dumped because he misread the tea leaves on putting the whole strategy together with Paul Ryan.
This is part of the problem now. Every story you're reading is an anonymous source, and a source inside the White House said this, and a source who knows Ryan's Priebus said that. Where is anybody on the record coming forward to say what's really going on here? Most of us have I don't think anybody has any clue what's going on. And the New York Times and other big media groups are running with stories that are completely unsubstantiated, and it's like night and fog. We have no idea what's going on
right now.
Kristen,
do you agree with that? You are a member of the Tribune editorial board. Are you, as a journalist, are you surprised or pleased or upset that there seems to be so many big stories without a named source?
I don't like it. I do think it has changed. We've become lazier as reporters. When I first started reporting 22 years ago or 33 years ago, you would only use an anonymous source if it was something that you couldn't get somewhere else. And you had to really run it up the ladder with your editors. And somebody at the paper knew who the source was. I think we've gotten really lazy just in general. And also, this is all just like the cable news, the feeding frenzy where, you know, because they had this one setback, people are talking that Paul Ryan needs to go. You know who needs Paul Ryan now more than anybody? Trump. He can't get anything done on his agenda without Paul Ryan. So I think I don't know what the point was of his tweet. Sometimes I try not to read too much into it because I think that's when people get into trouble. Maybe he really didn't mean to say that, but he needs Paul Ryan right now. Probably more than Paul Ryan needs Trump.
Do you agree with that, Tim?
I don't think he needs Paul Ryan, though.
Why?
I think...
Who would be able to do the other things that need to be done for his...
Like bring the votes in? I mean, yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He failed.
No.
He walked out there. He said he was going to do something. He didn't. He got the president on board. He failed.
Do you think it would be the same for another issue? Is there another issue that the warring factions or the differing factions within the Republican Party, that there is common ground that they can come together on some issues, like tax reform, like tax cuts?
As long as they don't try and do it in 6 days. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, he sees a problem. He's a problem solver. He goes, okay, let's check this off. Obama went 150 days.
What about the budget? Do you think there is popular support within the Republican Party to gut the National Endowment for the Arts, for instance, Jennifer?
I don't think that's going to be a problem. That's a very, very small percentage of the arts funding anyway. And if that's properly messaged, which the Republicans have a hard time messaging anything, I'll grant you, I don't think that's the issue. But I mean, Paul...
Moderate Republicans will support that?
I don't know.
Charlie Dent will support that and other...
I loved it. I watched the press conference with Mick Mulvaney. I loved that he was talking about the sacred relationship between taxpayers and the guy in Ohio, and we're not going to keep funding programs that don't work. That turned into President Trump wants to cut meals on wheels. If you actually watch the press conference, that is not what he said. He was talking about a broad program of community development block grants, which have little accountability. I do think moderate Republicans will be on board with something.
Okay. 1-800-723-8289. We're going to hear from Spokane, Washington shortly, as well as Little Rock, Arkansas. Back shortly.
Do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and let's go to David, who's listening in Chicago. He's listening to us on POTUS, Sirius XM Satellite Radio 124. Go ahead, David.
Good evening, Bruce.
Hello.
Just seeing a couple things here. On the health care bill, what it's basically shown to me is that we have a Congress that is functioning in a parliamentary system, as opposed to a deliberative body. And until the members of Congress realize there are about five factions, nothing is going to get done because no one is willing to trade and form a coalition to get it, to get things done.
Do you agree with that, Jennifer?
I do agree with that, and I would really like to know how the Paul Ryan, how Paul Ryan was negotiating with the Freedom Caucus. We haven't heard that. We hear that the Freedom Caucus was moving the goalposts, and they wanted a full loaf instead of a half a loaf. But I haven't heard about anything.
They're the ones that were going to see the president, right?
Well, the president, though, you know, did the whole bowling thing and wanted to get them on board. But I don't know where the compromises were coming. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But I don't know how. I don't know where the compromise was coming for the Freedom Caucus. What bones were they thrown? From what I'm hearing, it wasn't much. According to Jim Jordan, they weren't giving anything up. So, I mean, I don't know. It would be nice to have, you know, have some compromise going on. I don't necessarily think we got any compromise on this one.
Mike in Spokane, Washington, listening to us on KXLY. We're going to move on to Mike. Go ahead, Mike. Line three.
Go Gonzaga. Go Gonzaga. First time.
I knew. I even promoted that you were going to call, Mike, because I know you're such a big Gonzaga fan.
I am. We have only have about 200,000 people in Spokane, but half of them were wearing Gonzaga shirts.
I'm
and,
sure.
You know, give Northwestern credit, Bruce. They were down 26. Well, so I'm going to wear a Northwestern shirt and a North and a Northwestern cap and a Gonzaga shirt because they had a bad call there. But go Gonzaga. What I want to bring up, too, is the Meals on Wheels program, if they could keep that in the Trump budget. That's the only meal some seniors get, especially near the end of the month for shut-ins to see how they're doing. And if you replace Paul Ryan, who are we going to replace him with?
Well, that certainly is a big question. But, Kristen, you wanted to talk more about the budget as well, right?
I mean, I just appreciated that you had someone standing up there willing to say some things that people don't want to hear. You know how federal programs are. Once they're in a budget, they're almost inextractable. And we just keep throwing money at things. And I was taken with how much the media was willing to misconstrue what the budget director said, and he said it very inartfully. But he was not saying we're cutting Meals on Wheels. These are community development block grants that go to states. States can figure, they can still spend the money on Meals on Wheels that's left. We have more levels of government, especially in Illinois, than any other state. Townships could pick up the use of this. Some of this is state funding. Some of the Meals on Wheels programs, like in the city of Chicago, they're getting three meals a day. Well, maybe we do bring it down to one. I'm not saying it needs to be eliminated. It's a really important program. But if you read the liberal press coverage of his budget address, all of this practical things that Trump is trying to do with the budget were thrown aside. And the headline was, he's going to kill elderly people. That's basically what the headline was.
So, now, well, I want to get Tracy's response, because you're a media strategist. What's your response to what Kristen has just said? Because usually when a Democrat is on here, they are arguing that the news media is not in the tank for the Democratic Party. They're not left of center. Do you think they are or are not?
Well, there's a lot of things here on the table from Kristen's comments and the caller and your question now. So a couple of points. First, I would remind people, as I think we all know, that a proposed budget from a president is not going to be reality,
right?
But it is
a wish list.
It is absolutely a wish list. And so I think some of the hyperventilation on both sides should be kept in check. I understand the purpose of the hyperventilation. It certainly fuels activism and fundraising and things like that. But everybody take a step back. This is not real. So there's that point. On the Meals and Wheels specifically, I'm just heartened to see that they're individual fundraising has skyrocketed as a result of this. And to me, that underscores the reality of this new Trump administration, which is there is a new and newly energized force of civic participation happening in this country right now. And that is something that we're grappling with. I think it's new for the Congress. It's new for certainly the president. But what we're seeing is you want to mess with Meals on Wheels. Next thing you know, they're raking in millions of dollars. So there is certainly a new form of civic participation that this presidency is really fueling.
Do you believe that this new pressure from the people, not unlike the pressure from the Tea Party people, you know, within the last 10 years, that is going to make it impossible for any Democrat, even a moderate Democrat that wants to cooperate and show some bipartisan, you know, willingness to listen to Donald Trump, that basically they will be signing their own death certificate if they help Donald Trump in any way?
Well, I'm surprised that this topic hasn't come up yet in this conversation, but there is actually an area where I think that Democrats will work with the president and the Congress, and that's infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And there is tremendous bipartisan agreement on ways to go about an infrastructure bill. I think its chances, its likelihood continue to diminish as other things take center stage. But it is worth remembering that, you know, newsflash, Democrats and Republicans can actually work together on various issues. And I believe if you look back at candidate Trump, this was something that he made a big deal about. So I think it is quite likely that that comes back. And I think people should keep in mind that there is, in fact, an opportunity for bipartisan cooperation.
Should that happen next? Do you think that because Democrats are more likely to get on board with something that Trump proposes, that maybe Trump should move that next as opposed to, you know, tax reform or tax cuts, which the Democrats are probably going to be on the other side again? Does he need a victory?
I'd love to see that, Bill.
You think that's a good strategy? Should the president be able to demonstrate that he can work with Democrats now, or would that be viewed as turning their back on at least the Tea Party folks?
Everything's too polarized. I think both sides need to show that they're willing to, at some point, if you're in a small legislation, work together on something and move from there.
What about?
Let's talk about the budget. Let's talk about the things that are in the budget.
Or
problem
jobs,
is the press is poisoning that conversation.
We're going to come back and talk more about the press. I'm Bruce Dumont. Don't go away.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Hey, everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Bruce Dumont back. We continue our broadcast. Also last week, the investigation of the Trump administration by the FBI, that was revealed by James Comey in a testimony last week, and that said that although at the moment there's no indication of any relationship insofar as, you know, that it affected the election, again, it's kept that story alive. And Adam Schiff, who's the Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, he said that he has seen circumstantial evidence that suggests the relationship between Trump and Vladimir Putin. And Darren Nunez, who is the chairman, Republican of California, he went and he shared some information with the president about some things that he had discovered. And he did it without letting the Democrats or any other Republicans on the committee know about it. Mm-hmm. So that created quite a stir for a couple of days. So, Kristen, let me begin with you, because as a journalist, were you surprised what Congressman Nunes did? And was it really that bad? Or was he just giving the president a heads up that the president should have received that information? It wasn't no big deal.
I thought it was pretty bad. When you have pressure for a special prosecutor, which I don't personally support, you're putting the weight of this investigative body, the House Intelligence Committee, to hold fair and independent hearings into Russian meddling into the election. By the chairman running to Trump and kind of coloring the picture a little bit, I thought it just gives more ammunition to the Democrats to say this is not going to be a fair and transparent process. It felt very self-serving to me. And now I think he apologized later. He realized he shouldn't have done it. But the House Intelligence Committee hearings, you want them to look independent. And he kind of sabotaged that.
Tracy Seffel also joins us. She is our card-carrying Democrat this evening, a veteran media strategist for the Democrats very early on in Hillary Clinton's support of our candidacy for president. As a Democrat, I would assume that you want to see the Democrats do well in the congressional elections of 2018. You want to build the groundwork for someone to challenge President Trump in 2020. How much energy and time do you think the Democrats in the Senate and House who are on the intelligence committees, how important is them to stay on the Russian story? Do you really believe that the Russian connection is something that will turn voters towards the Democratic Party in 2018 as opposed to other issues that are more bread and butter issues that are that affect their daily lives?
Okay, a lot there. Let me start by saying, in my support and work in service of Hillary Clinton's campaign, I know that there are senior officials for that campaign who still today believe that the issue of Russia hacking private emails affected the votes. I disagree with that. I don't think that that was what people were casting their ballot based on. I think people had quite soundly made up their opinions about whether they were for or against Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate. So the Russia story became extremely concerning, and it certainly was damaging. It was certainly for very personal reasons. I think people were very violated, understandably so. How this all happened is incredibly strange, and lots of murky details here. Do I think that any of that affected the election, though? I do not. So to your question, how much oxygen should we continue to give this?
Yes.
I think it remains to be seen, and I agree, Kristen, that we need to have the independence, or at least the best that we can get at an independent inquiry into this. And it sounds as if there is evidence. So evidence is the way that this will be either hastened or shut down. And
what is the evidence? When you say evidence, what evidence do you think? What evidence are you talking about?
Well, I certainly wouldn't say that I'm some sort of forensic analyst with the FBI, but I do believe that there are incredibly sophisticated cyber technology experts who can see where things originated, how systems were broken into, and what steps were taken by whom, and then trace back those actors, and lo and behold, it keeps coming back to Russia.
As a Democrat, by the way, I congratulate you on your objectivity in responding to that question. I greatly appreciate that. But as a Democrat, were you or are you frustrated or upset that the Obama administration didn't do more to investigate that once it broke, because they were somewhat silent on it? I mean, this all happened after Trump was elected president, where it sort of came out of the bottle. But the reason I ask you that is because I know that Donna Brazile demonstrated that she was upset in a national interview that the president really wasn't taking this very seriously. Do you agree with that?
I do. I do agree with Donna on that point. And, as we all know, Donna herself was very much involved in the email hacking.
Sure.
And so I understand her passionate response to that. But I can't waste my energy right now on revisionism, and I can't go back, and we can't, and it's over and it's done. So should they have? Yes, I believe they should have. But so what? We're moving on.
One last question. Why do you think the Democrats are doing it then?
Well, because there is serious concern. And if, in fact, there is evidence that there was Russian hacking into the highest levels of a presidential campaign in the United States of America, that is something worth investigating. So I'm not sure what sort of dichotomy you're trying to create here. Why shouldn't we investigate it?
No. What I'm saying is I'm not opposed to any investigation, whether it's a congressional investigation or an independent investigation. I'm just saying is I wonder if I am a blue dog Democrat or a blue collar Democrat, and I'm in Ohio or I'm in any of the states that are states that Democrats have to do well in if they're going to win. I'm just wondering whether how many of them are still upset about whether the Russians were involved or not, because the evidence that's come out thus far, it is all circumstantial. Jennifer?
Well, close this point off, because I myself went back recently and watched the 2012 exchange between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama,
right,
when Romney raised the issue of Russia as a major concern, and Obama sort of, where'd that come from? And it's a very interesting exchange to go back and
yes,
rewatch. But I would say There's a hope that the American people have that our elected officials can do more than one thing at the same time. So an investigation shouldn't be, well, that's it, that's all we're going to do, and it's going to be the front page and every story every day forever.
But that's what the media is. That's the way the media is handling
so
it.
So here, let's talk about the media.
It's part of the delegitimizing of the election of Donald Trump.
Absolutely. The Democrats, with all due respect, are not pursuing this because of the seriousness of the situation. They are doing this because they truly thought that Hillary Clinton, along with the media, God's honest truth, they thought for sure she was going to run away with it and she was going to win. Almost every poll said that she was going to win. Well, that didn't happen. And so now what it is a delegitimization of Donald Trump. Listen, the DNC was hacked by the Russians, and the DNC did not want to cooperate with James Comey. He said that in the hearings that were just held, that they did not want to give up their records to the FBI. It wasn't a concern. This wouldn't be investigated at all if Donald Trump had not won the presidency. And this has been going on since July, and James Comey has said that there has not been any evidence to this point that anything happened.
We're going to be back shortly. 1-800-723-8289. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, May 14th. Do you have something special for your mom this year? How about an experience that she'll never forget, and one you and your entire family can enjoy watching for years to come? It's an opportunity for your mom to be interviewed by Larry King down at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in downtown Chicago. It's an opportunity for her to share her childhood, her life's memorable moments, the moments that frequently are shared over holiday dinners. The Larry King Fantasy Interview Experience is a recorded memory for a lifetime. Her interview with the legendary Larry King, recorded, then edited together for all to see and share with the family around the world. The questions are simple, nothing to study for, but an opportunity for your mom to share her life with Larry King. Go to museum.tv for further details. Look for Larry King's picture. That's museum.tv. A great gift for only $24.95. Bruce Dumont, back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us wherever you're listening, from coast to coast and border to border, on America's great radio stations, as well as Sirius and XM satellite radio, channel 124, as well as watching us on television in Chicago, both on Comcast cable and TV 20, WYCC. Let's head to Austin, Texas. One of our old-time affiliates, KLBJ. Riley, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just heard a couple of your guests talking about they need another independent study on the Russian thing, and the CIA and the FBI came out and said there's nothing there, but that's not good enough. They need another investigation. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
All right, let's let Tracy respond. Tracy?
Okay. I appreciate the caller paying close attention to this, and I would just remind your caller of what Republicans did during Bill Clinton's administration and the sort of marathon of investigations for things with significantly less to zero merit. And so it's important that we remember our context here, that we're talking about a nation state engaging in some sort of nefarious behavior with a presidential election in this country. That is, it's a very different situation. And we have had investigations for far, far less significant events.
Riley, go ahead.
Now, here's the thing. The election was not hacked. If the election was hacked, you tell me which voting machines were hacked. Okay, second, the fact that the DNC was hacked and that Podesta's emails were hacked, that does not mean the election was hacked. That means
I agree with you. I made that point segment.
She made that point.
So again, the election was not hacked. And back to your point, because...
Are you still there? Hello?
Oh, cliffhanger. Ooh.
We lost our call.
It's the Russians.
Oh.
It's the Russians. By the way, let me just make a point. You know, sometimes on this program I take swipes at the national media when I don't think they do a good job. I want to throw a bouquet out right now. And again, don't fall off your chair when I mention the name Fareed Zakaria. I do, okay? It's Fareed Zakaria. It's CNN. I know a lot of people say, oh, my God, he's terrible. Let me call your attention to a show that he did today. I'm sure they're going to replay it umpteen times. It's called The Most Powerful Man in the World. It's about the rise of Vladimir Putin. It is an hour documentary, extremely well done. Now, again, you put it in context to where you think his politics are. And, you know, that he is happy that Donald Trump has been elected president. I don't think there's a lot of people that would debate that. Whether or not he was intricately involved, that's sort of the investigation that we're talking about right now. But again, there's some really basic things about Vladimir Putin that I learned that I did not know. And I strongly recommend if you either they will replay it. It's an hour of your time. You will learn a lot. It may not change your politics, but I will tell you, you will learn a lot about Vladimir Putin. It's an extremely well done. Fareed Zakaria, it was on today on CNN. Let's go to Ken in Greensboro, North Carolina. Go ahead. You're on the air, Ken. Hello, line two.
Hello, can you hear
me? Yes, we can. Go ahead.
This picks up where the other caller sort of dropped off.
Yeah.
I've been in IT for years.
Yes.
And all we hear from the claim is that the Russians hacked the election. The Russians hacked the election. What specifically do you mean? If you're just referring to the Democrats getting some embarrassed emails, which had simply truths in them about what they were doing exposed, that's not hacking the election, because that doesn't affect people's voting outcome on a giant large scale.
No, I think the point is, insofar as what the evidence suggests, even our intelligence communities, I think they are suggesting that the Russians and hackers were involved in breaking into the DNC and decoding and releasing that, either directly releasing it or passing it off to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks releasing it, that right. information went out. That's the only thing I think that is somewhat sure. believable. But you're right. Did they tap into voting booths in any municipality in the United States? There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that they somehow got into Robbie Mook's mind at Hillary's headquarters and said, you know what, we're never going to go to Wisconsin and we're never going to go to Michigan in the closing weeks of the campaign. Those were stupid mistakes by the campaign. I think even Tracy would admit to that. This is a classic case how you lose an election. So you can't blame that. But you also can't, I don't think, say that I don't think you can say that the daily drip, drip, drip of WikiLeaks information, as well as the press conferences by James Comey, the good one for Hillary and the bad one for Hillary, I don't think you could say that didn't affect some votes in some states. I think it did.
But did the Russians hack some system that resulted
no.
in Comey's decision?
There's no information on that.
But it's not possible.
I think the argument has kind of moved beyond that point where even Democrats will acknowledge that somebody going and voting in Michigan was not, you know, their voting booth was not hacked. The problem is Trump is a pretty bad communicator on Twitter. And so he's kind of feeding the beast. He has repeatedly said that none of his associates had any contact with the Russians and that this is all fake news. And then you have top intelligence officials intercepting communication between people who were advisors to Trump or linked to him in some way during the campaign and Russian sources. So does that need to be picked apart? Do we need to know a little bit more specifics about what happened in regard to that? Yes, I think we do. And it's not just Democrats who are saying we need to have these hearings. You have a number of Republicans who also want to get to the bottom of this. I don't know that it needs to stretch for the next 6 or 8 months or 12 months, but I think there has been enough. It's not so much that the Russians hacked the election. It's that the Trump administration and people around him have they've lied about it. I mean, look at Jeff Sessions. So they have created the problem themselves.
How did Jeff Sessions, if we can get into that, how did Jeff Sessions lie about communications with Russia? I mean, I think he came out afterwards and said, in my capacity as a senator, I met with the ambassador, as did Nancy Pelosi and a whole host of people, Claire McCaskill, who came and said early on, I never had contact with the Russian ambassador, and I'm on the intelligence committee. And then, lo and behold, they produce a picture of her at dinner with him.
Well, exactly.
What communication with the Russians are we talking about here?
I think he probably Jeff Sessions made a good enough case once it was brought to his attention. But even the fact that he said that in a committee hearing, he was asked a direct question, and he did not give a fully truthful answer. He didn't tell the whole truth. So if you believe him that he forgot, okay. But I do think they have fed the beast by not being fully truthful.
Back to caller. Your last word. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, it's just using those loaded euphemisms. I wish if that's not what they mean, they need to quit throwing out the term hacked, because it's loaded. That just is an emotional, it's just a cheap word to use if it doesn't really explain what they're alleging.
Yeah. Well, again, keep in mind we're in a political world, and when one party, the words they choose to use, they are delivered for a specific reason. As we have an expert here, the choice of words, this is how they try to sway votes. And even in this documentary I just referenced, with Fareed Zakaria, I mean, if you're smart and you could listen to the way things are phrased, certainly it is the belief that Donald Trump was helped by Vladimir Putin in this particular case. They gave a reason why he might have been helped, but again, it's good to see that, because there was obviously help there. I mean, Vladimir Putin did not want Hillary Clinton to be elected for all kinds of reasons. I think legitimate reasons why, you know, she interfered, according to him, in his election. So tit for tat. It's, you know, the fact that we try to influence elections, whether we as a nation or Russia's election, that should not be a surprise to a lot of people. We've got to move on. Thanks for your call. Mike in Salem, Ohio, listening to us on WKBN. Nice to hear from Ohio tonight. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Dumont. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I just would like to say Vladimir Putin is a strong, moral Christian man. He's the only world leader using common sense in the world today.
Mike, you called a couple of weeks ago. You were the first pro-Putin call. But go ahead. Make your point for those that didn't hear you a couple of weeks ago, and then we're going to move on. But go ahead.
Okay, well, there's absolutely no reason why our country shouldn't be friends with Russia. We share a common interest in defeating ISIS and other areas. And the only country, Bruce, that is interfering in our country's internal affairs and has way too much influence over our politics and our government is not Russia, but it's Israel. And it's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And we really need to start discussing AIPAC and all the Israeli lobbies and register them as foreign agents, because that's the only foreign government that is controlling our government, not Russia, but Israel.
Okay.
Thank you, guys, and God bless you.
Jennifer, your comment. Yeah,
I agree with you on one narrow point, that Vladimir Putin is not the boogeyman that some people are making him out to be. Not saying that he's a good actor necessarily, but I think he's got his country's best interest at heart, and I think that our cooperation with Vladimir Putin, when it's good for us, is a good thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with having good relations with Russia. Why we want to poison that well, I've made this point before, is beyond me. As far as Israel pulling the strings in our government, I'm a very pro-Israel person, and so is Trump, but Israel is not manipulating anything that's happening in this country.
If and when there is some clash involving Russia, does Donald Trump have to bend over backwards and be hardline against Russia because of all this suspicion that has been raised by the Democrats and the media that somehow he's in the tank for them? That's the question. We'll discuss it when we come back. I'm Bruce Dumont.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and we also welcome another new affiliate to our broadcast this evening. We welcome the folks in Palm Springs, California, listening to us on KGX Real Talk, 920 AM. It's great to be back with Kevin Barrett. We thank you very much for putting us back on the air in Palm Springs. We were off for a while, and again, to all of our fans and friends out there, including Jeff Gottlieb, who's a regular listener to this broadcast, thank you for joining us. That's each and every Sunday night on KGX Real Talk, 920 AM in Palm Springs. Also, let me mention, as you know, we do this program from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and here's something very special I want to tell you about. This is the Larry King Fantasy Interview Experience. It's a gift certificate for $24.95, and here's why it's important. Mother's Day is coming up. You may want to have something special for Mom this year. Well, what you can do is this. If you go to museum.tv, and by the way, that's, if you're watching on the screen, it's wrong right now. It's museum.tv, not museum.tv.com. If you go to museum.tv, we'll tell you more about it. But basically, bring Mom down. Larry King will ask her some questions. They're on tape. We edit her answers and his questions together, and you and your family will have a souvenir that you can watch for a long, long time and share with your friends all over the world. Your mother talking about her childhood, all the memorable moments, all these stories that you hear at holiday times over dinner. You can have it your way with your mom. Special. No one else is going to do that. Let's go back to calls. Let's go to Tim in Georgia listening to us on POTUS 124. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
one thing before I start. Everybody keeps talking about hacking into the voting booths. You don't have to necessarily technically hack into anything to rig an election. Like you said earlier, it's the mind. I was thinking, I was torn between Hillary Clinton and Trump until the emails came out. And then I was like, okay, if she can't control her own little world as far as in her campaign, how the hell is she going to control a whole country or the whole free world? That kind of swayed my vote. So if it swayed mine, imagine how many other votes it might have swayed. Well, so you don't necessarily.
I agree with you, sir. Now whether or not it swayed enough votes in the states that Donald Trump won, I don't know. Some of those states were very close states. But the evidence, I mean, what WikiLeaks released were compromising, embarrassing emails that, frankly, the American people should have known about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that they were so leaky, I mean, we're talking about, because there were attempts by the Russians, and this is the intelligence community has identified this, they tried to do the RNC as well.
Right.
The RNC was just a better protector of their records and their secrets than the Democrats. And that's one of the things that people voted on.
But I always say that if it changed one vote, it changed too many votes, because it should never even have happened. Now, my question to you is, what if we found out that everything that's being said is true and the Russians did come in, they did hack it. There's no questions about it, and their next move was to actually try to hack an election. What does the United States do then to retaliate? What would be the next move? Because sanctions don't move Putin. He still marches
right
on with sanctions.
Right.
So what would be the next move?
First of all, if you're retaliating for a cyber attack, the last thing you want to do is telegraph that you're going to do it, and the second thing is you want to deny it if it happens. Tracy, would you agree with that?
I sure would.
Mm-hmm. You tell nothing. So, you know, we don't know. By the way, I would find it hard to believe that we have not responded in some way to the cyber attacks against the government for releasing all the personnel information several years ago. I would find it hard that we have not responded in some way. We don't know about it. It's a secret. It's one of the secrets the government is keeping at the moment. And I congratulate them for keeping a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're right about that, because they don't do that too well.
No. Well, no, I would say that the government probably does a great job of keeping secrets, but they don't keep all secrets.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to retaliate, let's say Russia did interfere in the election. I'll just say, I'll agree with that just for the time I'm on here, that they interfered with the election, but we're going to retaliate against them. Well, then Israel needs to retaliate against us. And there are other nations that should be retaliating against us because we have interfered. You know, Obama has taken sides in elections. He has made it very plain in several occasions. Palestine would be one of them. Benjamin Netanyahu has a lot to say about this, about interfering in someone's election, wanting a certain outcome. So this is not new. You had a Democrat guest on, Amara Enya was on here, who said that she felt it was off-putting for us to be complaining so much that how dare Russia try to influence this election when we do that all the time. So I just think that it's kind of like physician, heal thyself, even if you're going to buy the argument that Russia did influence this election.
By the way, this goes back a long way. 1964, Lyndon Johnson against Barry Goldwater. The right in that country at that time, which were supporting Barry Goldwater, they believed that the Russians were involved in trying to elect Lyndon Baines Johnson because they hated the idea of Barry Goldwater. Now, that's in 1964. Mm-hmm. So the idea of world leaders of the world politically, that they're not trying to meddle in other people's business is, I think, folly. We've got to move on. Tim, thanks very much. Let's go from Dave. Let's go to Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Listening to us on WKBN. Go ahead.
Hello, yes, you just illustrated the whole thing. Yes, we've known this throughout history enough with the Soviets and now the Russians, so this is not surprising. So back up and listen to your own words. Look at the reality of the situation. How important was this story to be fettered out before they pumped it into the media? It came out from the Democrats, from the Hillary's campaign. The whole story of the Russians was an answer, a distraction. Watch the shiny ball. Because of the past, Obama's administration was talking about dealing with things with cyber attacks, but they weren't going to do anything about it or hadn't shown anyone. If they did secretly, okay, maybe, but to the public side, they did not. Then, with Hillary's campaign, she was faltering. Her campaign was faltering. There was things going on with WikiLeaks. That's true. But WikiLeaks has got a stellar record. Now, I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying Julian Assange is a good person. I'm not making a character judgment. I'm dealing with facts. That they have been true. They have been for 10 years, and nothing has been wrong with their information. Now, there's nothing to prove other than mysteriously in the timing that they announced that, oh, the WikiLeaks somehow is something doing with the Russians. There was no statements of that, and Julian Assange himself was, when questioned, would emphatically say no. There is no connection, never, and that's not their purpose. And if you look at their track record, you got to look at it on its face. Hillary's campaign also had problems with her own emails and her own scandal, if you will, inside. And the media seems to forget that and just says the word hacking. And people light up on the word hacking as if that's really possible.
Well, the fact that it was emails and then it was WikiLeaks and then it was revealing the information that was coming out was all related to cyber related and email. I mean, it played to the narrative in the campaign that Tracy referenced earlier that people had already made up their mind. In this particular case, I think you're right. I think there was an awareness that there had been some skullduggery involving somebody. The DNC was aware of it. And when Robbie Mook, the campaign manager, went on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd and said, as part of his story, we did the whole show basically on his allegation that night, when basically he said that the Russians were interfering in the campaign. He was raising the possibility of all the bad news that was about to come out. It had not come out yet. He was raising the possibility that when all this bad news comes out, he was pointing the finger already that all the bad news was coming from the Russians, not from WikiLeaks. He specifically said the Russians. WikiLeaks. When it came out, it was WikiLeaks. And by the way, from that moment, from Robbie Mook's mouth to Chuck Todd's ears, that's why Chuck Todd and the national news media, they've been playing this like a fiddle ever since. But it did originally come from Robbie Mook.
Well, let me add something here. The point is that yes, they're bringing it up, but also it was a real news story. It was real fact that the media did not want to answer after Benghazi, her emails, her wiping a server, and they did not want to push that story at all. And the FBI and the discussion of meeting with people behind the scenes and whether they're going to release something or not release something, and as far as her emails go, and then anyone on the campaign...
The email story, sir, I disagree with you. The email story was carried. The email story was carried. It began with the New York Times and the national media. They were into Hillary on that issue like a pit bull. I'm not going to agree. The national news media should take some criticism for a lot of things that they did. But they were the ones that were pushing the story of Hillary and the emails. That's why she was on her heels most of the campaign.
I'm not saying they did, but when they found this was more convenient to overwrite the narrative, to go from something that was really factual, that was really dangerous for Hillary, and her campaign was faltering, and they knew it was, to jump on this. And even when it was John Podesta's emails, and I mean, for Pete's sake, he gave away his stuff, no problem.
Well, the news, one last thing, and we got to go. The news media also had this other story. It was the Access Hollywood tape of Donald Trump saying some really bizarre things that probably would have sunk any other candidate, and the media ran in that direction. Folks, we got to move on. Thanks for being with us tonight.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bruce Dumont back, and let's go back to Austin, Texas. Roger's listening to us on KLBJ. Go ahead, Roger.
Great show.
Thank you.
You know, I think we need to boil this thing down. Adam Schiff and the Democrats keep calling for special prosecutors and trying to make this thing sound like a big evil deal. But, you know, really, at the end of the day, what law has been broken? Any party in this country can speak to anybody in Russia, France, wherever. I mean, if Paul Manafort wants to call Putin and ask him what the weather's like every day, there's no law against that. And, you know, we have some free speech. At the end of the day, those hacks only revealed poor security and a lot of scheming on the part of Clinton and the Democrats.
Yeah. I would agree.
I want to get Tracy's response to that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very as a first time guest on this show.
Yes.
It's interesting for me to see just how many of your callers have been really hammering on this topic. It's interesting to me, and I'm really sorry that we're not able to spend time talking about other things. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, in future shows, this will continue to be a topic, but I just worry that the splitting of the hairs, it starts to remind me of last year when the email stories about Hillary Clinton and her private server, when the splitting of hairs became excruciatingly painful, when the media was just so deep into that story.
Right.
And it was all people could talk about. And it was this sort of, you know, really revved up moment. And I feel like that's where we are now, where the splitting of hairs is getting quite, I'm not going to finish my sentence because I think whatever word I'm going to choose would be an insufficient one. But
well, you know, can I interrupt?
Yes.
I agree with you, but I think one of the reasons why we're talking about it, which is, gets back to something I asked a couple of segments ago, the Democrats, they're putting a lot of eggs in this basket.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're the ones that are bringing up this story every day. They got the House committee, they got the Senate committee, they got Adam Schiff, who's out there, who's, you know, I mean, he's like all over the place these days. I mean, that's the story they're carrying. They're not carrying a story about we're going to create jobs. You know, they've had attempts to rough up Neil Gorsuch. Most independent observers would say they didn't land a glove on the guy. I mean, he probably is going to sail through confirmation. I mean, they're not talking about their issue. Their issue is the last campaign and how the last campaign was lost because of the Russians.
How
That's their case.
How do you square that, though, with Trump tweeting about it? That, to my point earlier, he feeds the beast.
Can't
then Sean
help
Spicer,
himself.
But he's the president, and he is bringing up the story. And then Sean Spicer has to spend an hour and a half trying to deal with the media. It's a feeding frenzy. He's part of the problem when he does that. It can't. The media can't ignore a tweet from the president that claims that that stretched the story on now for another.
I think the hysteria about something that there's a lot of ifs here. You know, it's most popular word is if this, if that, if that. We should have investigation. If this, there, you know, you just talk about splitting hairs. There's no hairs. We can't split anything. There's no information. What's the investigation
Roger,
about? Comey's having one.
Roger, there is a law broken. A law that was broken was when the name of Michael
Flynn, we don't want to talk about
yes.
that.
Was released. When the name of Michael Flynn was released, someone broke the law.
Right.
Someone likely in the intelligence community by releasing that information. And you're right. He was a non-elected person who made the call. When he made the call, he was an American, not an average American citizen. He was an American citizen making a call. Mm-hmm. And again, because the intelligence community was eavesdropping or spying or wiretapping, whatever the word you want to use, they were listening to the Russian side of the conversation. Michael Flynn was brought into this, mm-hmm. and because of that, they found it was very interesting. But then somebody said, you know what, we're going to leak this mm-hmm. information.
Mm-hmm. My big question is, though, what is Adam Schiff's end game on this? He keeps trying to make it sound like a prosecutable offense with special yes. prosecutors.
Yeah.
This is all just trying to trash mm-hmm. the Trump administration
yes.
and keep the eyes on all of this stuff and off of any kind of positive things. And
right.
it's, you know, this is almost traitorous.
Well, Roger, I can tell you what the end game, I think, is. I mean, Maxine Waters kind of forecasted what the end game is. She sent out her own tweet a couple days ago about how Donald Trump, you are going to be impeached. I mean, mm-hmm. this is what she wants. This is what several other people think is. I think they think it's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you put all your eggs into this basket? I think they're playing for keeps, and they think that this is going to turn get Mike Pence in office, and Trump's going to go on his merry way, and everything is just going to go the way they want it to. And it's a fantasy land.
Yeah, I expect the clown car to come rolling down the street, and for Schumer, Chucky Schumer, and Pelosi, and Maxine Waters to get out. What I'm disappointed is the national media and how they're handling the story. And if you don't think the citizenry, other than the Democratic low information voter, who the Democrats are trying to influence at this point, aren't seeing this, you're foolish.
You agree with that?
I mean, I agree with all the points that they're raising, that the media is ignoring the leak. And I like when Sean Spicer pushes back against the media. When I love when he kind of points out their hypocrisy. But again, I you can't let Trump off the hook. He is helping to feed this frenzy with his own activities. And when you had the leak, I'm going to assume it was people in the intelligence community who knew that there was this information out there, and they're watching the Trump administration say that there was no connection, and they know that there was something. So I don't have a problem with the House Intelligence Committee having hearings. I actually think it could exonerate some of Trump's people because they will have a chance to explain exactly what they were doing, and then maybe the media will let it go.
Tracy, quick question to you. Do you agree that Neil Gorsuch is likely to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate?
I do.
Does everybody agree with that?
Yep.
I think so.
Yep.
I think it was kind of a shameful display that he had to go through with, you know, I don't like to quote Lindsey Graham very often, but he kind of summed it up on day three or four that, you know, Lindsey Graham and all of these very conservative members of the Senate approved Obama's nominees because they were qualified, they were going to be independent, they were going to use precedent, and they were going to follow the law. Gorsuch stuck to that script for, what, 4 or 5 days of hearings, and the Democrats still kept trying to sabotage him by getting him to say how he would rule on certain cases. It was just shameful, in my opinion.
We are out of time. Thanks to all of our guests. You did a great job this evening. And Tracy, nice to have you with us on our very first broadcast. Thank you will come back many times in the future. This program is a Gen B production, produced in association with WCGO and WIND in Chicago. Our thanks to Colin Bobbitt and Samuel Greenberg screening calls tonight.